Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on Unapologetically Catholic. I am Susie Furtwängler, principal at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School here in Grand Rapids.
And I'm Betsy Edgerton, development and outreach coordinator, St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School here in Grand Rapids. Susie, who do we have here with us today?
Well, today we have Greg DJ, the principal at Catholic Central here in Grand Rapids. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're very pleased you're here. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Greg, we often ask this question at the beginning of an interview because it's a key to what you're doing. But tell us a little bit about your faith journey. What brought you to Catholic Central? Why principal?
Why principal of a high school?
Right.
Well, like most faith journeys, it only makes sense, you know, when you look in the rearview mirror and realize where you've been and God's plan for you has kind of unfolded without your knowledge and sometimes without your consciousness. So I suppose I would attribute mine initially to my K-8 education. Mm-hmm. I grew up in St. Joe, Michigan, and St. Joe is a really nice public district, not too dissimilar from an East Grand Rapids type. But my parents sent me to Lake Michigan Catholic, and it was St. John's when they graduated. They were alums, and their parents, fervent supporters of Catholic schools, and I didn't have the option. So I went through K through 8 at one location for Lake Michigan Catholic, and then on through 9 through 12. And the lessons learned there were kind of unbeknown to me at the time. But in hindsight, you're surrounded by models of faith and in ministers in every sense of the word, as much as educators. That played a critical role in what I was looking for in my college choice. I was kind of all over the board until I recognized that as a strong criteria. So I was looking at schools at Marquette and University of Dayton, and I ultimately chose John Carroll University. It was the smallest of the three, and I appreciated that. And it also gave me the opportunity to play football, which, you know, it was an opportunity to continue a passion of mine. That choice really solidified what exactly I wanted as an extension of the high school. John Carroll, for me, was an incredible community. It was filled with people also who served as ministers, but also who embodied the same virtues that I wanted to espouse in my own life. That was a no-brainer. And I gained a real affinity for Jesuit education through John Carroll. And my favorite professors were Jesuits. And the way they interacted and lived of this world for other people was just inspirational. So I started there and pursued a degree in English, knowing that I wanted to teach high school to hopefully have the same impact as teachers that have impacted me. And upon graduation, well, let me back up. Prior to that, doing a lot of observations in the public school system, you know, from hunter level all the way to student teaching placements. That wasn't what I necessarily aspired for. There was just something different about working in a Catholic school, and not to certainly demean any sort of public school. They do wonderful work, but there's just a little different focus, a little different emphasis in the Catholic schools, and I knew I wanted to do that. Unfortunately, the Midwest job market for especially an English teacher was quite saturated, and my parents pulled no bones that I'm on my own, and I am not to move home, and not to hit them up for any sort of money, that I've made my choices, and now I have to live with the fallout. So I took a very active pursuit in a graduate degree through the UCCE, and I'm going to butcher the acronym, but it's University Consortium of Catholic Education, of which the Alliance Catholic Education Notre Dame was a part. And these programs were really blossoming when I was coming out of John Carroll in about 2003, 2006. They really expanded. So I was applying to graduate programs at ACE and through South Bend, through the LALAM program at the University of Dayton, and then the PACT program through Providence College. So they all have a little bit different spin, obviously, mm-hmm. and the criteria for the programs was different. Some placed exclusively in urban areas. Some were regional. Some were national. Some had vast graduate degree options. Some had very few degree options. So I took that as an opportunity to travel, another passion of mine. And as much as I love the Midwest, I didn't want to I wanted to experience something else prior to settling down. So I moved out to Providence College and started the PACT program, the Providence Alliance of Catholic Teachers. And it's hinged on the same three pillars that almost all these programs are, and that's faith and community and academics. So I actually lived in a convent for 2 years during this entire program, and there were anywhere from 11 to 13 of us in a convent. So it was quite the experience, as you can imagine. It was the real world, like MTV show meets, you know, Catholic graduate program all under one roof. It was quite
Sister
exciting.
Sister Mary Leo.
Yeah. So the guys were on the third floor and the girls were on the second floor, and then the first floor was all common space, and it was the full deal. There was a chapel at the end of the hall, and each bedroom had a sink and, you know, a couple community showers and one kitchen, one dining area. So, you know, talk about living in community. I got the full experience for 2 full years, and I'll speed up my story because I'm still in graduate school.
I actually am enjoying it immensely, and I'm taking notes that I'm going to ask you about later, but please go on.
Sure. Okay. So that program, once accepted, guarantees you a placement. So I was placed at a school called Bishop Fan, and I thought, great, I'm in the program. So my school, I assumed based on the program, it would be very much in need of a lot of things. I thought it'd be quite under-resourced and needed a lot of young blood and new enthusiasm to kind of pump it up. My high school, where I was placed, was quite the exception. It was about 1,100 kids strong.
Wow.
With a waiting list.
Wow.
With a full development team, with a full staff, with, you know, it was quite the model. I guess you could say they did very well in many different aspects. So I got some great opportunities there, pursued a graduate degree in administration, stayed on after my program because I was given the opportunity to get my foot in the door with administration, where I became the dean of sophomores. So, you know, I had oversight of one particular class at, you know, 260 students. And continued that with a modified teaching role. And I was coaching football and track and absolutely loving life.
My goodness, what brought you back then?
Well, okay, so.
I met a girl.
Well, no, ironically, I did meet a girl, and she's now my wife, who is from Rhode Island, and she lives here. So that's another story. I fried her away.
Yeah.
But the unfortunately, very practical realities pulled me away. I always said if I could pull that school and drop it in West Michigan, I probably would be a 35, 40-year man. Housing prices out east between Boston and Providence
right.
are not cheap. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a family, and I wanted to own a home, and I wanted to live that piece of the American dream. And that would have been quite challenging to stay on out at Bishop Fan for just those kind of unfortunate circumstances. And the desire to be closer to family was obviously pulling me back. So then I was, you know, looking around in 2009, and Catholic Central had the assistant principal posted. So I interviewed, and so to speak, the rest is history.
Here you are today. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's quite a journey. And I have to tell you right away that one of the things that you said stuck out in my mind immediately was the fact that you were surrounded by models of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very impactful thing. Mm-hmm. I really like that. And actually, probably I'm going to use it from now on, just so you know that. But
sure.
With that, obviously now you're the principal of Catholic Central, going from assistant principal to kind of learning the ropes a little bit and then becoming the principal. And being a principal of any school, whether it's an elementary school or a secondary, or being president of a college like Aquinas College, there are peaks and valleys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to focus in a little bit because you are, I believe, working a very difficult age. You're working the 14 to 18-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
and I'm curious how you are being a model of faith for your students, and how do you keep the faith alive
mm-hmm.
for children who are leaving the dependency of their parents and mm-hmm. becoming their own people. How do you make it alive and real?
Sure. Constant challenge, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a challenge.
It makes you get up in the morning. It does.
It challenges an elementary school. It challenges a high school. I would imagine it would be an incredibly daunting task if you were a person of faith who worked in the public sector and tried to instill this throughout your school community.
Right.
I think the most obvious thing we do is we constantly plant seeds, and we plant seeds, and we plant seeds, and we plant seeds. And we rely heavily on our parents, who are tremendous and are, you know, the primary educators of their kids. And you can tell, you know, the spectrum, so to speak, of our enrollment of over 650 kids, 80% of whom are Catholic, but 20% are not. The variance of where they stand in their own faith journey is quite extensive. So, in all things we do, we try to plant those seeds and surround them with those models and those witnesses of Christ's word and truth, so that you never know, when and how a student might lean back and recall that moment, that person, that ritual, that can continue to feed them in both the joyousness and certainly the sadness as well. So we offer a number of different things. Obviously, it starts with campus ministry, and most of our programs, in terms of supporting and nurturing the faith life of students is coming out of our campus ministry. That's an outward sign, but the staff and I talk regularly about providing them with that witness, providing them with those models of faith. I in services to kick off the year, I didn't refer to them as educators. I refer to them as ministers. Our role is to minister to them. There's no doubt in my mind every single one of our students is getting exactly what they need academically, from a geometry perspective to AP U.S. history to remedial math. It doesn't matter. I know we're hitting the marks there, and you know, our academic data speaks for itself. But I really want them to espouse that mindset of ministry, that Catholic schools are what they are because of the people who occupy them.
Well, that's exactly right.
I firmly believe that community is what makes Catholic schools what they are. And, you know, it starts with there first, and then we can talk about some of the details of campus ministry.
Yeah. You talked about lessons that you learned without knowing that you were learning them. That's really what we're doing every day in Catholic schools, is teaching lessons and leaving those seeds and watering those seeds and, you know, just making sure that our children in our schools, whether they be small children in our case or the larger children in your case, making sure that they've got good food for thought, you know, down the line, because you just don't know what you say today that a student might look back on and be able to change their direction because of it. And that's certainly your good testimony to that. With your faith story. So you and I both know that in the Diocese of Grand Rapids has undergone a lot of exciting changes and exciting, a new fresh look at what we're doing. How has some of that affected you and added some excitement and some change to your programming at Catholic Central?
There's a lot, obviously. I guess the most outward, obvious part would be what we're calling our Learners to Leaders program, which is our iPad project. We've been planning for 3 or 4 years now on how to roll this out, and surely enough, it was just 3-4 weeks ago where we put an iPad into every single student's hand, and they are fully in use right now, walking through the school. It's been tremendous, the work that has gone in from our technology committee, from our school board, as well as the diocesan support, figuring out a way to finance it, figuring out a way to operate it, training our teachers, visiting other schools on who have done it correctly, who, you know, who didn't do it so correctly, and who can we learn from in preparation for last month.
But being a former parent of a Catholic Central alumni, my question as a parent would be for you immediately, how is that intentional? Tell me what an iPad does for a student in the sense of learning, because my biggest concern would be, is my child just able to Facebook their friends during the day or play whatever game might be on?
Sure.
You know, how do you make it intentional?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. So I'll just start with a logistical thing. So I've learned a lot through this process. You can imagine being an education major and an English guy. So there's this thing called mobile device management, commonly referred to MDM. And mobile device management is a one-stop shop that controls every single iPad. So, for example, the MDM blocks Facebook during school hours. So, and it's so customizable that at 3:01, we can lift it. And as soon as the final bell rings, the students can get onto Facebook, but not during the school day. So those parameters are set up for different gaming, you know, for different things. Obviously, it's not foolproof. There are literally over 50 messaging apps. So you can block iChat here, sure, or some of the more popular ones. Kids are going to find a way around it.
Sure.
So it really becomes important for the deliberate use of that technology. The teachers have undergone professional development for the last year and a half about how to teach effectively in that environment, mm-hmm, how to position desks, how to structure your lesson plans, mm-hmm, all the different things that might have to be rethought, redesigned with this incredibly powerful tool in every student's hand.
And again, coming at you from a parent perspective, how do I pay for one of those if my child's going to Catholic Central? I can't afford it, say, for instance.
Sure. It's on a lease agreement right now.
Okay.
So you have a technology fee that we set in conjunction with our tuition rate. So, for example, our tuition rate typically over the years has been anywhere from 3 to 5%. We set tuition artificially lower given the fact that there was going to be an extra technology fee. So the two kind of went in concert for a very predictable increase year over year. So that $175 technology fee is annual, and that covers far more than the device itself. It obviously helps upgrade the infrastructure and the network so that these things are reliable and that don't break and cause kids and teachers much frustration.
Right.
They're involved with extra training for both students and parents and teachers, mm-hmm, and that also helps to cover the added tech support that we have now at the school. So when there is an iPad problem, we have extra loaners. So the student would just hypothetically turn it into the help desk, which is staffed by an additional purpose or person dedicated to the initiative, mm-hmm, who can swap it out by the end of the day and make sure the educational component keeps rolling.
And I have two questions left. I'm really sorry. this is, to me, just fascinating because the digital world has really entered everything in our lives.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
And I applaud you using it in very positive ways. But two questions. The first one is a very simple one. Do students take them home at night also so that they can use them for study purposes?
That's correct.
And connect? Okay. Mm-hmm. The second one, though, what happens if the server goes down?
Mm-hmm.
Are your teachers still equipped to then take the lesson right back to the olden days?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This very much is an evolution of what's been done. It's not a revolution. So mm-hmm, teachers got a year and a half of training, but some of them have been doing this for 20 years. So they're at different places, but everyone's got the right attitude and everyone's growing and changing together.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, were quite scared and then they see its potential. They see its you know, what it is capable of, how their classroom can be transformed. So everyone's at their different, you know, level of comfort and proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's no expectation on my part other than to be open and use it to some degree. So mm-hmm, this isn't radically different from last year. We still have textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids still prefer to write on a notebook with pen and paper. That's all well and good. So this is going to be an evolution over the course of years.
And did you do in-services for your students as well? So that they were trained to
yes,
use it. Okay.
Yep. So we did when they actually picked up their device, they came in for a half day of orientation. So we spent a good 3.5 hours on that particular day of pickup, making sure that all their logins were correct just so we could knock out some of those troubleshooting errors up front. But then we also gave them an orientation of the proper usage and what their rights as users are, what our rights as, you know, the school and school property means, and gave them a lot of training and information up front. We also have a digital citizenship curriculum that we're implementing every Friday through the first quarter for a total of 12 mini lessons that just speak to the proper usage of the device itself and how to be a global participant, making sure that it's done, making sure that it's used appropriately.
Excellent. Are there any other schools in the area here in West Michigan that are doing the same thing?
Sure. Well, West Catholic, certainly. We did this in conjunction with them, and they launched, and they're on the same timeline, training, et cetera. We've done this together. Zeeland Public Schools have iPads at their high school, and Wayland Public Schools have iPads at their high school. And that's as far as I know that are one-to-one with an iPad.
Mm-hmm. And last question, I promise, but from an academic perspective, do you believe this gives Catholic Central and West Catholic students an edge?
I do, and here's why. I have no idea what will happen to our test scores in 5 years. I don't presume that the iPad is going to reflect in you know, a growth of an ACT over time or any sort of standardized testing. What I do think is advantageous for our kids is knowing the quality of families they're coming from and just the respect and commitment to education as a whole coming from our students. They're going to become more innovative. They're going to be more creative. They're going to be more collaborative, and they're going to have these 21st century skills. So, you know, it depends how educationally, you know, there's so many different definitions. Are you talking about the core and college readiness? Are you talking about the ability to analyze and break down a problem and apply skills in a new way? That latter aspect I really see being advantageous with the iPad rollout.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to mention, and I think it's probably really appropriate to talk about on this show, is, you know, there was some really great discussions among the faculty, administration, and even the school board when we started talking about our Catholic identity. You know, that it seems, you know, for the casual person, you know, we're breaking from tradition, and that scares people at a school like Catholic Central that's 103 years old. You know,
right.
we're built this way. This is the way we operate. We have to be ministers, you know, and,
right.
and that doesn't involve technology. So we had some great conversations, and we actually, as a staff, read a book called Infinite Bandwidth, which is written by Dr. Eugene Gahn out of the University of Steubenville, or Franciscan University of Steubenville. And it was all about capturing the power of technology while preserving the spiritual Catholic, the Catholicity of an institution. So we read that as a staff, and it was very, I would say, liberating from a lot of that fear that you know, this is a tool. And, you know, there was just so many great documents and quotes pulled in that speak to this is part of the way to capture God's kingdom and deliver it in a more impactful way, not only to our students, but potentially to a wider audience after they graduate. So,
do you mind saying the name and the author again?
Sure. That's called Infinite Bandwidth by Dr. Eugene Gahn, G-A-N.
Okay.
So my assistant principal and I got that for our entire staff, and we all read it, and It was pretty clear. We can go down this technology path so long as we preserve the human and spiritual elements of
right.
who we are. And that's key. We use technology to better our lives, not run from our lives.
Right. You know, I attended one of your rollout meetings with our eighth graders who are able to attend your school for geometry in their eighth grade year. And they received iPads as well. Each of the students that are attending. And so I went to the meeting at night, and I want to tell you, you did a fabulous job with the communication between your school and our parents. You had a great PowerPoint that, you know, I think that was probably what you rolled out with your students as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very clear, very concise, and it was very, it met the kids at where they were at and relieved some of the fears that the parents might have had, because as you can imagine,
mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine mm-hmm. the comments you got for a long time once this was released from parents and dealing
sure.
with that. So how did you deal with that?
So it's bold, right?
Right,
you
it's
know,
bold.
It's a bold thing.
Anytime you make a bold move,
right.
you have people don't like change.
Right. So part of our 3-year planning process, you know, was to make this a topic among community forums. It was one of three that we had on the agenda, and as you can imagine, it was quite spirited.
Sure.
you know, what some of the feedback was. But what we learned was, like many things, the fear was driven by just the unknown.
The unknown.
So the more information we could provide and provide some clarity on how and when and what it looks like and how it applies, and there, you know, you could just see the anxiety lessen
right.
over time. And this was a year before rollout. So after the forums, we collected, you know, the data that wasn't part of the presentation, made sure we addressed those on our website through mailings, et cetera. And shockingly, it must have worked, because it was altogether quiet this summer and
wonderful.
Through the rollout. Like, no, don't get me wrong, it has been flawless. No
sure.
initiative of this can be. So we've had some server issues that have bounced back over a day or two, but we're working through it. Everyone's flexible and everyone's working through it positively.
Wow. That's awesome.
Excellent. You mentioned you don't know the impact, and I tend to agree with you about the critical thinking portion of it. When it comes to ACT scores,
mm-hmm.
You don't know how this will impact it. I would suspect in a very positive way. But let's talk, because you shared with us when we sat down today that mm-hmm. you had some really good news about the ACT scores.
Sure.
So, yes.
Yeah, I'm happy to. You know, it's kind of curious. We Catholic Central and most of the private schools don't participate in the MME testing date. So when you see in the summer all the schools get, you know, their scores released, everyone wants to know, where's my school? And
mm-hmm.
And inevitably we hear Catholic Central is not on there, and we say, right, it's a state report. We didn't participate on that testing day, so we always get ours a couple weeks later. So we scored, what I'm most proud of is the score has continued to rise for five consecutive years. So that's number one. That makes the staff feel good, and that affirms what they're doing. That really, you know, affirms what our kids are doing, and it really instills a lot of confidence on their end that, if I do the work and I go through the program, you know, the results will follow. We're at a composite of a 25.0, which I'm very proud of.
That's wonderful.
As far as I can tell, that puts us second behind City High School. But our college readiness is as far as I can tell, highest in the area, higher than even City High School. And what that tells me is our program is broad enough that where we can meet the benchmarks in all four of the domains, you know, certainly English, algebra, social sciences, and biology, pretty strong numbers all in all. 70% for biology, 76% in social science, 78% in algebra, and 91% in English composition meets that college-ready benchmark. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's, like I said, it's affirming for everybody.
That's excellent. Excellent mm-hmm. news.
It is wonderful. So given that your scores are going up and you've got this new iPad initiative, is there anything, and this I'm selfishly asking this, anything, a wish list that you could say now to elementary schools? Because you've got a lot of new stuff going on mm-hmm. that we need to catch up with where you're at. We, of course, always want to send you the best,
sure.
you know, the students that our students are ready for you. Given the new changes that you're making, is there anything that elementary schools should be working hard on?
I don't know if that's fair, just because I feel like our success largely is your success. Let me think about that.
What a gracious comment. I think we should have him on again.
No, I'm thinking that already.
You know, right off the top of my head, I was thinking of something as menial as keyboarding. You know, can you imagine if schools were not able to have technology classes or didn't have them mm-hmm. and students would come to you unable to keyboard, that just that little thing could affect mm-hmm. the effectiveness of your iPads.
Mm-hmm. Wow, from a tech perspective.
Yeah, I put you on the spot there, dude.
Yeah,
sorry
yeah.
about that.
No, it's okay.
Well, think about it.
I
and
will.
If you come back to something, certainly.
Well, I've taken a couple of walks, as principals like to do. They like to walk in their own buildings. They like to see what's going on in their mm-hmm. classrooms. I think
pretend
all of us would like to do
again.
It more. Right, exactly. Pop in.
Yeah.
So when I do that, it's been – I don't know what I expected, to be perfectly honest, but this isn't what I expected. I walk by and there's, you know, a lot more small groups, rather than whole group discussions. So I've seen that, which has been good. The thing that's been most surprising, believe it or not, is at lunchtime when I walk in the cafeteria, no one's on their iPads.
Oh, that's
exciting.
No one's on their iPads.
That's exciting.
They put them away and they're talking and they're socializing. And I was so happy to see that.
Yeah.
May I tell you from an older perspective, that's a wonderful thing because we are focusing quite a bit at the elementary level in any school of bringing back community
mm-hmm.
because that was where my family, your family, that's where our social lives were
sure.
when I was very young. And then everyone kind of the technology was introduced, the digital world took us over, and everyone did everything from their home looking through a portal.
Right.
So that's exciting to know mm-hmm. that your high school students are not using it as their terms of communication, because the thing that makes me insane is the amount of texting mm-hmm. from one, it doesn't, actually fourth grader even,
right.
doesn't have to be a high school student, but they say, oh yes, I talked to them yesterday. Well, did you have a face?
Did you have a conversation?
Yes,
or even by the phone?
Yeah.
No one, my wife and I just had this conversation. No one speaks on the phone anymore.
No, a connection
point is text, you know,
yes.
and maybe social media outside of that.
Correct. And that for me is the most difficult thing that people communicate. Certainly my, at being the dinosaur that I am, email is my form of communication. I got to zip something right off to you real quick this morning to
mm-hmm.
make sure you were coming instead of a phone call.
Right.
You know, shame on me for not making that phone call last mm-hmm. Friday. But then especially our high schoolers, their conversations are through texting or Twitter or whatever any of the things are. And I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And do you think that that was intentional on your staff's part, making that an expectation? Was that your expectation or
no,
what?
No.
Because that's refreshing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That was nothing deliberate done by me nor the faculty. I think what that was is outside of the practice hours. So a typical kid's day, they come in, they work hard at school, they go to practice, they work hard, and then they come home, grab lunch, take a shower. It's 8 o'clock and they got to start, you know, their regular routine. Those, you know, beyond that, when they get home, they're back on social media. And a lot of them use the tools that are at their disposal, check on homework, but they do connect that way so often at home. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the school has really come back to the base of that community. And knowing that I'm going to text you later or message you later on Facebook or whatever, we're just going to have lunch and we're going to talk about what you're wearing to the dance. We're going to talk about how hard that homework assignment was and just experience that humanity.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
we will even see a return of boys actually face-to-face asking girls to dances.
Oh, come this week because it's homecoming week and there's a lot of creativity going on.
I heard that you have to go over the top with some crazy stuff.
Yeah, that was a weird tradition when I walked in at Catholic.
Yeah,
the length and the extent to which someone mm-hmm. would ask someone to a dance. Quite involved.
Exactly. I know, and don't you kind of step back going, whoa, I am getting a little older.
Absolutely. Well, in my alma mater, Lake Michigan Catholic, my graduating class was 44, and I had four first cousins in the grade, and I always your numbers aren't good, and of course, if you ask someone, it doesn't go well, and all of her friends say no, it's even further slim picking, so...
Boy, yeah. I've heard some crazy stories, and I thought, well, what if the young lady has to say no? Boy,
yes.
how does she give you that message back? Because you were never there when you asked her.
Exactly. Yeah. Not to change the subject, but to change it. Mm-hmm. I seem to be the one with the tough questions today, and I apologize for that. One of the things we hear quite frequently is we can't afford Catholic education.
Mm-hmm.
Susie and I attempt to address that as frequently as possible, but you had some, again, really good news when you sat down with us before we started. So why don't you share with us some of the financial good things going on?
Absolutely. It's, I would say, a tremendous burden, but I also think that there's a great misperception about the actual cost of tuition at the high school in particular. We know that our tuition at Catholic Central and West Catholic is actually a little bit under where it ought to be based on the number of programs that we provide, the number of teachers that are employed, et cetera, et cetera. And we use that to break down a cost, and we think, wow, that's an even higher number than what we're charging now. So what we've done is really invested at both high schools into our development team, and this is the way successful Catholic schools have to do it now. When I went to Cleveland, I saw all the big boys, you know, the St. Ignatius, the St. Ed's, the Notre Dame Cathedral Latin, lots of big schools that have full-fledged development teams that their sole job is to go out there, spread the good news, and raise some money. Same thing out in Providence and Boston. You've got to compete by investing in development staff, and we've now done that, and our annual appeal has been up for 3 consecutive years. So the good news is we know where we stand, and we can actually break down the actual cost of what we will charge each family through tuition assistance. For example, this current year, so everyone that applied last year, we've already distributed over $1 million to 39% of our school population. Of that, the average grant was $3,900 per family.
That's wonderful.
That's good news. And we've been able to communicate that at a very broad level, the total amount and the average. But what we've done further, and this has been great help from Kevin Simon, our business manager, is we've actually been able to break down your monthly payment based on your family's income. So I have a graph here that I know you can't see, but it basically says if you're a family making $20,000 or fewer, you can anticipate paying this amount. If you make around $40,000 as a household, usually this amount. So let's say you're a family out there, with a total income of $60,000, mom and dad, and you want to know, can Catholic Central really be an option for me? Based on our average over the last 3 years of tuition assistance, if your household income is roughly $60,000, your monthly payment would be $392.
Wow.
So it just kind of reframes that in a way that you don't see a sticker price and think, well, holy cow, we can't do that. It becomes much more bite-sized, much more monthly, and it really gives families some actual real number. And what I hope does provides them with some hope and a case that says, hey, we can do this. If this is a value for us, we can make this happen.
Right.
How do you get the word out? I understand that you talk. No, but seriously.
It's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, more people should know this information because coming from the elementary level
exactly.
where we are.
Right.
You have, especially with the wonderful districts that we have surrounding where we are located in Grand Rapids, you have individuals who are starting to, you know, their child's creeping up to the middle school years, and they say, well, now's the appropriate time to pull.
Make the transfer,
because
sure.
we can't afford, you know, Catholic Central or West Catholic. And to have this information at our fingertips, I think, to get the message out.
Absolutely. I told our admissions folks that when we go out and kind of speak this message, these need to be on poster boards. These need, you know, people like graphs. They can go up and interpret and apply them to themselves. This is new. We got this over the summer, so I need to get this to Susie, to Cindy at St. Stephen's, to Stacy at IHM, to Lori at St. Paul, to Michael up at All Saints, to Greg down at SJV. We've got to get this widely in the hands. So this will be a part of all admissions application materials. So we have a, what we call a recruitment kit. Basically says, come check us out, and a lot of stuff in there about what we offer curriculum-wise, extracurricular-wise, et cetera. And this will be a piece to that. So that's the most obvious, is get that in the hands of our parish schools who send us the majority of our students.
I think even putting it in a newsletter, even in our school's newsletter with a little note, you know, be thinking ahead, you know, is this in your realm of possibility? Yes, it is, you know, and, and now you can start looking, because I'm looking at this and quite frankly, I don't see it with the amount of help that you're able to give students. They're not looking at a whole lot more than
I'm
what
so
they're already paying
up.
For our elementary education.
Right. By the time you take, you know, whatever you qualify for on top of the parish support.
Right.
And then there are also private foundation scholarships for which you can apply. The gap isn't nearly as wide as people perceive it to be.
Right.
That's amazing. And also, we can't forget the whole, the bottom line, and that is that it's an investment in your child's future as an adult, or in your case, in your young adult's future. But I am curious, because you gave a statistic a moment ago of 80%, you know, Catholic, 20% non-Catholic. What draws those non-Catholic, especially based on where we're located, who's surrounding us, what is their rationale for coming?
There's a small group that want to come because of our academic excellence, but I would say the great majority of that remaining 20% want that community, want that safe environment, want those good model people, those, you know, witnesses of their Catholic faith. Even if they're not Catholic, they know that this is a community effort and that their kids can be well cared for. And that's the term I use. This is, you know, a Jesuit principle here from John Carroll is the care of personalis, the care of the whole person. There's got to be that spiritual attendance. There's got to be that physical attendance, you know. And that doesn't exist everywhere, you know.
No.
It really doesn't, not to single any particular school out. But, you know, we really put our arms around all of our kids wherever they come from. And I think that's a big appeal for a lot of those kids coming from, you know, our non-feeder, our non-partner schools.
Right. I know that we have a small percentage as well, excuse me, of non-Catholic families. Not, I wouldn't say really small, I mean 15%, but they are all faith-based families as well. I think the fact that they're non-Catholic really goes away when they come into our building, and I'm sure the same at Catholic Central. Faith permeates everything we do, and if anything, I think it strengthens their faith.
Absolutely.
And grows them closer to Christ and their own service. You know, when they go to their own churches, I think we're only augmenting what's happening at home. I just want to say I am so excited that you have development people out there, and that there are good, strong Catholics, good, strong people out in our community that are supporting Catholic education. Because it does nothing but strengthen the church.
That's right.
Because down the line, these are the students. These children are going to grow up and be the leaders in our churches. And we're depending on that. We're counting on it as a church. So that's wonderful.
Well, and some of the exciting things, though, that you've also done, we've talked, you know, iPads and tuition and all of that, but I like to get to the travel portion.
Sure.
I like to go to the summer pilgrimage, pilgrimages. Could you share where some of your students have been this summer?
Sure.
And why they went?
Okay. So this, I'll back up. We actually have a continuous relationship with a school in Haiti. And I think another, Susie, does your school?
Yes. Well, our parish does.
Your parish does. Okay. So we've been working with, ironically enough, IHM down in Port-au-Prince, Haiti for the last 4 years. And this is what has become our annual Lenten drive. So we raise funds through our Fifth Hours, and the sole purpose of those funds is to follow Haitian students from kindergarten through eighth grade at their Catholic school. So we are paying the tuition of what are now third graders, and we have been since kindergarten, and our goal is to continue it on through high school. And right now there's not a Catholic high school in the area, and as you can imagine, you know, extreme poverty, and so they need everything. But what we are doing minimally is paying for all their tuition, and then we see what we raise on top of that. So last year we were able to provide a case of water for every student, toothpaste, toothbrush, and a pair of shoes, because annually we send students down over spring break to participate in you know, basically the building of their village. You know, it's a work camp, you know, over spring break. So they come back and they bring pictures, and they give a presentation to the whole school at an assembly, and they say, look, guys, here's what I thought it was. Here's what the reality were. These kids don't have shoes. So I know we're asking you to raise X for tuition, but raise X plus five, because these kids are bleeding from their feet walking to school, and they walk 4 miles to get to the school, and it's mountainous terrain. So, you know, that's been really cool to see. That's an annual thing that's only grown in numbers and excitement. We send faculty down. Mary Hanks has gone, I think, annually. Dennis Rubicki plans on going. I'd love to if my kids can handle it right now. And my poor wife, I'm always leaving her for other things. But that was really cool. And we do that annually. So I'm excited to see where that goes this year. We also, and I say we because I was privileged to go with the pilgrimage to Italy. Mm-hmm. And we went for 11 days at the end of June. And I'm going to get my dates mixed up, but our choir was central to the whole entire trip. We actually sang at the Papal Mass, and an experience of a lifetime. So we went to three cities between Assisi, where we had a concert, Rome, where we had two concerts, and Florence, where we had a concert. And then we hit up a couple towns along the way and saw basilica after basilica after basilica, and just stunning. Just, it's hard to characterize what an experience that was.
Yeah. And that's an annual thing, or every other year? What is
the,
that?
The Italy trip in particular is at least every four. It has been on a three-year rotation.
Okay.
They do a trip every year. So last year, I think they went to New York City, and the year before that, Toronto. So they take a good-sized trip, but they only do a transatlantic trip to Italy every 3 or 4 years.
So if you do it in the 3 or 4 years, if you're in choir for 4 years, you get to go at least one time during your time there. That's excellent.
Correct.
That's
we had 153 go to Italy.
I was just going to ask. And do parents have the opportunity to join you?
Yeah.
And you probably have a flock of them.
Absolutely, we did.
That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. What a wonderful opportunity.
It was so cool.
And then Spain and France, you've also done that. What did your students do there?
That was more of a cultural experience, not so much a pilgrimage. But our world language teachers, Chris Jones and Cheryl Rudy, took a group, and you know, they got to see the culture. You know, they learned the language, and they took 10 days as well, and did the the tour of the different places. And both Mrs. Rudy and Mr. Jones have been to those countries multiple times. So they knew the best restaurants, you know, they knew exactly what churches were worth the price of admission, et cetera. So yeah, a lot of good travel this past year for the Cougars.
That's excellent. Don't you think that some of the experiences that high schoolers are having these days are what college students have been experiencing? It's just kind of coming down, you know, I mean, you do so much more than the regular, than the regular education.
Yeah, I do think so. But I think that prepares them really well too for college, for a college experience, especially a study abroad kind of experience.
Right. Right. And I think a school like Catholic Central, I just, you know, God bless like Michigan Catholic, but being so small, I just salivate, and I'm so proud of all the opportunities these kids have in front of them, you know, with our whole community support, you know, certainly from our parents, from our benefactors, from the, you know, our pastors. The number of opportunities these kids have is amazing compared to what I remember high school to be like. And so many of them are capitalizing on it. And it was, I don't know what the right word is. I guess you could say sobering, being in Italy with them and watching them, not as their principal, but just as a, you know, fellow pilgrim. And we were in a basilica for, you know, this was typical, 45 minutes, and there was 25 minutes of guided tour, 20 minutes to do whatever you want, you know, check out this or that. So as I was walking around, and this was almost every day, you know, I duck into a side chapel, and there were three kids just on their knees, just praying,
yes.
And, you know, just taking advantage of the time. And like I said, as Susie probably knows, you know, it's hard to stay that deeply in touch with the student lives because there's so many community things, administrative things, but to see that, you know, the fruits of your labor, so to speak. And that just reminds you so clearly, this is what it's all about.
Yeah,
exactly.
We've chosen a really blessed ministry, mm-hmm. haven't we?
mm-hmm.
I have to tell you that I sit in awe of your choir. We're treated to the choir at least once or twice a year,
mm-hmm.
as the Catholic schools, you know, Alliance of Catholic Schools. And I just have to tell you, I sit in awe. I can't sing a note.
No.
But they're just, it's like the angels singing.
It is. They were.
It is so beautiful.
They're stunning. They were one of two schools in the state to receive a superior rating at the state competition. They're that good. And then when you put them in a medieval cathedral in Assisi, and they sound like they're 300 angels strong. With those low arches, and oh my gosh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I've
gave you chills. Yeah, absolutely.
You do have chills.
Exactly. I'm just curious because we certainly have talked about all of the wonderful things that are happening in Catholic education, and of course, as we said a few moments ago, all of the opportunities for individuals. If I could step back though to something you just mentioned briefly, a little aside from the high school version, but more into the ACE Rise version.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity this summer to join Susie and some other mm-hmm. members of our diocese down at Notre Dame, the University of Notre Dame, for a wonderful couple-day visit. And I'm curious, tell us about your background with your studies and how you believe that that's impacted what you're doing, because you're obviously putting a new... How long have you been at Catholic Central?
This is my sixth year.
That's amazing.
Isn't it amazing?
That's amazing. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
But do you often refer back to those things, I guess is what I'm looking at.
To which things?
To your master's degree as a Catholic leader through the ACE Rise.
Through the PACT program or ACE Rise?
Yes, PACT program.
Okay, the PACT program, I will say... it's okay. Here's the thing. Providence College is the only school, at least at that time in the state of Rhode Island, as you know, is not big. It's an hour top to bottom. The only school that was accredited as a school leadership program.
Mm-hmm.
Given the needs of the state, it was completely absent of the Catholic bend. So it was very much interpreting Rhode Island law, interpreting school finance from the Rhode Island perspective. It was just educational change and theory. It wasn't very specific to Catholic schools. So I was a little disappointed that very little of my school leadership program transferred to my current. You know, the PACT program themselves had other aspects to the program to support Catholic schools specifically, but it wasn't part of the degree program.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just looking at you, though, you really glow Catholic education. You really do.
Yeah. Well, I've never not been in Catholic schools. I jokingly say that the only time I was not in them was when I student taught at John Carroll, but I was still enrolled at John Carroll.
Exactly.
It's something I believe in. You know, like I said, when you look back in hindsight, you know, my wife is a great example. She went to the best public school in the state of Rhode Island. And, you know, she grew up Catholic. We were married Catholic. It's all good. But she sees, you know, a difference in me and my friends from high school and college and how we interact and how we just see the world. And that's been one of my rallying cries is for Catholic Central graduates to see the world differently than a typical graduate and to understand their role in that world in a different way from a typical graduate.
Mm-hmm.
That excites me. That makes me feel like their possibilities that they've experienced at Catholic shouldn't be taken for granted. And most do. Most do. Most have come from schools like St. Thomas, come through us, just like my experience. And then it's only after, and who knows when those seeds really fully bloom and you can understand all the difference that Catholic schools make, and you can't quantify it when you're going through it. It all makes sense in the long run, and you're grateful. And I'm grateful for my teachers, for my parents, for my professors. I'm grateful to God for bringing me down this path that I mm-hmm. could never have predicted.
Right.
When I came here in 2009, I said, I'll give this school administration thing. I'll give it 3 years. I don't want to quit too early, but I don't know if this is going to be my bird. And, There I am. You're number six, and
exactly.
Still going.
I did something very similar with my role. I remember speaking to the benefits person saying, we really don't need to go into a retirement program. I'm only here for a year.
Yeah,
and
right,
here I am,
right,
16
right.
years later.
Isn't that funny?
Right. Yes,
yeah.
It truly is. Yeah. But don't you believe that it becomes a vocation?
Oh, if you don't believe that, you can't survive.
Exactly, exactly. And I just think, and we at the elementary level, and I'm at the really elementary level, I'm at the beginning stages of their education, and Susie can speak from the middle school perspective of it. But if you don't have God in the picture, mm-hmm. I mean, as a teacher, for me, that was kind of my ace in the pocket. You know, if I had a struggle with a student, if I had an issue to discuss with a parent, the opportunity to pray with them
right.
made all the difference. It diffuses everything.
It gives, and I agree with all that. And I think it, you know, when it gets hard, you know, whether it's a tragedy or just a confusion or an anxiety, when it gets hard, you know, our faith gives us this tremendous hope.
Mm-hmm.
And without that hope, I don't know how people can pick themselves up all the yeah. time and carry through if that becomes a regular piece of life.
So then comes the question, given the world we are in mm-hmm. today and the age of the students that you are working with, do you believe that our students, our world students, but you can only focus, of course, on Catholic Central. Do they have hope for our world? Do you see?
Does a typical teenager
have hope for our world? I mean, do you believe that the next generation coming up?
I do. I'm actually probably the oldest millennial you can find. I just come in under the cusp, but there's a lot of research that says
I'm the oldest baby boomer. There you go.
I'm staying silent on that.
Yeah. So I do. I do. I think our group is going to be more hopeful. I think that there's going to be a lot of innovation, and there's going to be a new wave and a new renaissance that I think has already begun with Pope
right.
Francis. Obviously,
he's
out there leading the charge, and you know, I do think it'll swing back to a spot that our teenagers think that the world is capable of being made into a better, more just place.
And don't you think, I'm sorry, Susie, that Pope Francis has made the difference?
Oh, absolutely.
For young
absolutely.
People in particular. I'm sorry. What
Look at how many people follow him.
Right.
On Twitter.
Yeah. I just think that's amazing. And how many times you see his picture on a kid's, you know, binder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pope Francis is like a rock star to mm-hmm. our Catholic kids. Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah. I think really that's the benefit. One of the big benefits that we have as Catholic schools is we're a people of faith. We're a people of hope, you know, and I think we instill that in our kids, and there's never that sense that we're headed down a bad path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think prayer is key to what we do during the day. And I think Catholic kids just tend to think of the world in terms of being a part of making it better, and of the world as being God's
Absolutely.
World. And God doesn't destroy things. Mm-hmm. He builds things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think as Catholic schools, we've got a, you know, we have the best of the best. We have the best possible scenario for our vocation, and also for making the world better, because we're bringing these kids along.
No doubt about it. And every Catholic school has their own, you know, rallying cry, whether it's, you know, men for others, you know, the Jesuit all boys schools, or men and women for others if you're yeah. the co-ed school, or if it's just, you know, servant leadership, or you read any number of different mission statements or, you know, statement of values.
Yeah.
And it's all about living outside of yourself, giving it all up for the greater glory, and living of this world to transform it to his desires. And it's just a powerful message when you remove, and that's a great thing from a teenage perspective. And what I love challenging the kids, you know, to step outside of their own psyche, to step outside of their own reality and look at a broader perspective.
Yeah.
And you can see the light bulbs go off that, you know, I am not the center of everyone's universe. You
right.
know, there's a big world out there.
I was just going to say, that's not always the first thing that they do either.
No.
Most high school students, I attended years and years ago the most wonderful presentation about how your high school student is really truly identical to a 2-year-old, because the eye rolling, the hands on the hips, the tapping of the
yeah.
toes, the sarcasm,
mm-hmm.
the absolute insistent on independence, I can do it myself,
mm-hmm.
All of that, you know, the fussiness when they don't nap, all of that kind of
thing. Very irritable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly what high school students are. And mm-hmm. I thought, my gosh, I have to find that woman and have her come back and talk to all of us.
Sure.
Yeah. They're I mean, we have great kids, we have great families, and they seem to get it. You know, they seem to get it. There's been a, you know, I would say a nice culture embracing, you know, that type of thinking. There's been, you know, an expansion of the retreat programs away from just community days. Catholic Central has always done community very well. But what about retreats, pure retreats, silent, prayerful, spiritual retreats? Let's separate them out. You know, there's value in community, but there's also value in retreats. Let's have one of each. You know, let's create some opportunities that are more optional. You can opt in rather than class-wide where we force everyone, you know, to kind of conform to this one type of retreat. So I think we're meeting the needs well. Obviously I'm never satisfied, but I think we're doing well, and I want to continue to get better and, you know, see that really take root, and who knows? You know, I think we're on our way, but we'll keep giving it up, right?
You know, Greg, I have never said I wish I was a high school principal. There's never been a desire, never been a desire. But I have to say, sitting here listening to you today, what a blessed place you are in to watch these young adults. I mean, you see a side of that child that we don't see because we work with children that are just emerging. Mm-hmm. You are really working with kids to send them on their way into life, and that just how exciting that must be every day.
Absolutely.
Especially graduation day when you watch them walk out the door. Now there's one of mine.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
graduation is such a proud day all the time, you know, because you can remember how they came in as freshmen.
Sure.
And you saw, you know, things you were so proud of within them, and you saw some things, man, I hope they don't carry that in to the world outside of here, and just seeing that transformations.
Exciting.
It's the whole narrative of Catholic schools is we take them and we transform them into something, you know, a little, you know, less ignorant, a little less sinful, and a little bit brighter and more hopeful.
Right.
I'm curious, as we wind down our hour, if someone were listening right now and was kind of on the fence, Catholic education or not Catholic education, what are some of the bullet points that you would say to them? And you feel free to repeat anything that you've said, but bullet points to say this is a viable, really good option.
For me, the conversation starts with we care more about what your son or daughter becomes as to anything that we're going to teach them in any given class and on any given day. What, you know, our approach is a long-term one where we look to develop habits and shape attitudes and instill some values, you know, that transcend any given class. And I just don't think too many schools can make that argument. So if parents are looking for a very prescribed program or course or single track, that's great. And maybe we have that, but I always broaden the conversation as the reason we exist, you know, serves a different purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You only get one shot with educating your child.
Yeah.
You can't go back and do it again.
We were just, both Catholic Central and West Catholic were recognized by the Cardinal Newman Society as schools of excellence. It was embargoed until today, so today is good timing. So we're going to be releasing a press release on what that means and how many are there, but it represents less than 5% of schools nationwide that receive this honor. And it's all about the intentional integration of Catholic faith into everything. So the application process is quite extensive. How do you teach economics? How do you teach social justice? You know, what programs are available? How many kids have you sent to seminary? What's your philosophy on this, philosophy on that? It's quite extensive. So it's a great exercise for me and the other school leaders to engage in about our school. How do we do this? And what are our kids saying about this? So we're proud of that. But that's also a real affirmation that we're doing things, at least by the Cardinal Newman Society standards, and, you know, that we're preserving that faith in a very competitive academic setting as well.
Excellent. Well, Greg, we thank you so much for coming today. I know it's hard to get away from your school.
No, my pleasure. It was a nice break. It's fun to talk about.
Well, it is fun for us, too. We love every week when we get together with somebody, get to be able to talk to them about our faith and about Catholic schools. So we thank you for coming. If anyone has any questions, can they
give a website? Absolutely. Please call. Come visit. We've got a new chapel that's been renovated. We finally got some stained glass in there, so it's pretty much
complete. Is it on the first floor,
It's on the heart of the school. Yep, first floor.
It's right down from the office, isn't it?
That's correct.
That's
yep.
when I attended. I'm a Catholic Central alumni.
We'll have to come back and check it out. We've got some good things happening. I would say top to bottom. So if you've been, if you're an alum who may have fallen out, come check us out. There's lots to talk about. There's homecoming this weekend. There's a number of really exciting things happening about our future and a lot of good progress being made. So
great.
Come check us out.
Right. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us again on Unapologetically Catholic. We hope you have a very blessed day and join us again next week.
You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.